There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Wired to Hunt podcast, your home for deer hunting news, stories, and strategies. And now, your host, Mark Kenyon.
Welcome to the Wired to Hunt podcast presented by OnX. This is episode 377. This is Rut Fresh Radio, but this is not Mark Kenyon. Instead, you're stuck with just me this week, Spencer Newharth. Mark and I were not able to hop on the computers and record an intro this week because yesterday, October 6th, I killed a buck in Wyoming and dealt with that for most of the day. And today, October 7th, I'm not going to give you all the details, but I'll tell you that a buck was killed on the back 40. So you're going to have to tune into future episodes and check out Mark's social to see exactly what happened. Now, the last time we talked, I told Mark I was on my way to Wyoming. I'd be there for 5 days, and I was looking for a mule deer or a whitetail on public land. And as Mark would say, I'm going to give you a Cliff Notes version of what happened in the cowboy state. The first couple of days there, I was looking for a mule deer, and I was really struggling to do so. What I didn't know about this part of the state that I was going to is that it was wildly dry. There were often times where I was glassing an area and had this realization that there was more water in my backpack than there was for like a mile in any direction. And why that's important when it comes to me filling my whitetail tag is that I realized the green food sources are also where you'd find water, which is also where you'd find deer. And it's also very telling that that area has a high prevalence of CWD, because despite it being big country, most of the deer are just stacked on top of each other and focused on these green food sources. When I did switch gears and started looking for whitetails then, I went and looked for pieces of private ground that would have the ideal food, that were someplace near public where I could intercept these whitetails going to feed in this big egg. And ultimately, that was the difference maker between me killing a deer and not killing a deer. Although I was hunting public ground, I had the benefit of accessing it through this private, which left behind basically 99% of hunters that would ever be on that property. When it comes to the actual killing of the deer, what I found while I was there is that the deer were quite predictable. They were sort of on patterns that you'd expect to see in like mid to late September. So the buck that I ended up killing, which is a 5x5 that you can go see on my Instagram at Spencer Newharth, he was a deer that I had seen Monday morning and then I had seen Monday night. And using that information, I went to the area where he was entering this field that morning and that evening, and I ended up killing him on Tuesday morning. If you recall, on last week's episode, Mark and I talked about how killing a deer this time of year, so much of it comes down to being aggressive and really weighing that risk versus reward factor between bumping a buck and not seeing him for another 3 weeks and killing a buck. Now for me, I didn't have much of a choice but to be aggressive. This was public land. This was the last day of the hunt on a trip that I had already extended by a day because I thought I might be able to get it done. So when you're weighing those factors, you're out of state, public ground, final day, I was more aggressive than I typically would be on October 6th, and that's how I killed this whitetail. So that's a theme that you're going to hear in this week's episode and future episodes of Rot Fresh Radio as we get into what most hunters consider the law. Now this week we're going to talk to Adam Bolds in Indiana, Kyler Mopper in Louisiana, Justin Michaud in New York, and Clifford Martin in Iowa. If you take anything away from this week's episode of Rut Fresh Radio, I want it to be something that Mark and I have covered in a few seasons in the past. And it's that if you think about buck movement as a line graph, it's going to start to increase in like early September, and then it's going to peak around early to mid November, and then it's going to start to decrease after that. Now that's a very rudimentary way to think about how bucks are moving in daylight. But within that rise and fall, you also have these little ebbs and flows of more movement and less movement. What I think we're at right now is these last like 5 days, we had more movement, and so that line graph would be up, and we're currently leveling out now, coming back down to what you'd expect to see this time of year. So while the hunters that we talked to this week sound pretty pessimistic, just know that it's going to swing the other way and things are going to get better, but that this next week or so is going to be a difficult time to kill a mature whitetail. It can still absolutely be done, although the hunting was probably better 5 days ago and it's going to be better again in 10 days or so. But that's enough for me for this week. Let's get to our first interview. All right, and joining us on the line next is Adam Bolds from Hunt the Wild. Now, Adam, in Indiana, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say about a 5. I'm going to go with mid-level. I think a lot of it has to do with weather right now. As far as buck activity during the nighttime hours, it's higher, but like during the day, hunting hours, last light, anything like that, it's just, gosh, the weather has just been a killer. 90 degrees constant. Yeah, just looking for a cold front.
As a public land hunter, what are you looking for when you go in early to mid-October when you're trying to kill a buck?
Early to mid-October, I'm usually looking for, around here, public land's a little bit smaller, so we kind of hunt cornfields, bean fields, stuff like that. There's a couple areas around here that are a little bigger. So I'll try to get on, you know, acorns or something, persimmon, something of that nature. But mostly I'd say it's going to be crop fields, and some of them are starting to come out now. So it's working in our favor.
How did things change for you when those crops start to come out?
Oh man. It's usually good for about the first week. There's usually a lot of deer out on the field. And then, if you're not a run and gun hunter, I mean, if you just got to set up stand on that field, it's usually just kind of luck or something like that until the rut. I mean, you got to get back in the woods, I think, because they start hitting acorns and persimmon around here.
Are you seeing any sign making yet in Indiana?
Not as much as normal, actually. I've seen a few rubs, but that's really about it. I haven't stumbled on any scrapes. It's the crops are coming out a little bit earlier, it seems like, but for some reason I'm not seeing all the normal sign that I see, which is kind of weird. It could be weather related.
This time of year, are you doing any morning setups?
Yeah. I actually killed a doe, let's see, two or three weekends ago. It was morning, early morning, about 7:08 in the morning. And that evening I was actually hunting in a different area, but I had on camera that evening, a couple smaller bucks came through, pretty early, but like I said, mature bucks are still staying pretty nocturnal for the most part.
So what does a morning setup look like for you in mid-October?
A morning setup is usually on some kind of food source, pretty far away. Sometimes if you can get away from other hunters, I hunt really high up. I usually hunt about 20 foot, 25 foot, because it feels safer that way, smell and everything. But yeah, I mean, I go in quiet. I very rarely will use a light, use a red light. So yeah, food source and sit tight. I try to sit tight as long as I can, because know, those deer can come through 10, 11 o'clock even.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Indiana?
I think it's going to probably about a 7. Okay, so it's really hot right now. It's going to rain all weekend into the middle or beginning Monday, Tuesday of next week. Then the temperature is going to drop a little bit, not a whole lot. And then as we get into like next weekend, a cold front's going to hit, and I know how those cold fronts are. They get the deer moving. So by next weekend, you better be in the woods if you hunt in Indiana, because deer are going to be on their feet.
All right, Adam, well, I like your optimism. Good luck with your hunts, and thanks for joining me.
Yep, thank you.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Kyler Moppert from Louisiana Bow Hunter in Louisiana. Now, Kyler, in Louisiana, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would put it so far this season about an 8. And, you know, we've had a really interesting season so far. We typically don't have as cool a weather as we've had opening day and opening weekend. We were in the high 40s, low 50s on Thursday and Friday. And that, I think, got a lot of bucks on their feet. And not only that, but the most interesting part was a lot of them were in velvet. We're getting a lot of velvet pictures, which is really unusual for us. A lot of times deer would have lost all their velvet by now, but I probably got 15 or 20 velvet pictures of not very nice bucks that were killed last week.
Now, Louisiana has one of the stranger whitetail herds in the country with biological clocks that are all over the map. So can you walk us through what hunters should be expecting for rut timing in the state this year?
So the southwest portion of the state is usually the earliest rut. We've got some deer in an area called Avery Island where Tabasco sauce is made that will rut in late July and early August before the season even opens. So their rut ends before the season opens on September 15th. But we've been receiving a few pictures of bucks killed in rut, big swollen necks, and really nice deer from southwest Louisiana. But unfortunately, Hurricane Laura destroyed a lot of that area, and the people in that area just aren't hunting right now. And we've got another hurricane coming down the pipe right now as we speak. But for the rest of the state, not a whole lot of rut action. We won't get much until the very beginning of November for the other portions, like the northern northeast portions of the state that kind of kick off what we refer to as early, which probably is more in line with the typical Midwest rut, you know, mid-November. And then we rut all the way up and through until the middle of February in some areas. So we're still very early in a lot of those other areas.
You mentioned there's a hurricane on the way for that area. How does a hurricane change things for deer movement in the south?
They move about 130 miles an hour during a hurricane. the Cameron Prairie area, which is the southwest portion of the state, just got almost totally flattened. I've been sent pictures of some really nice bucks that were killed in floodwaters and storm surges. Even seen pictures of trees that fell down on deer and killed them. So, like I said, that part of the state is going to be hard hit for a while. And I'm very interested as to why the state hasn't closed those three deer areas down yet for that reason, because in the past when an area is flooded really bad, such as Baton Rouge, they'll close it down for the season so that nobody's putting any excess pressure on the deer herd. So I don't think many people are going to be hunting in southwest Louisiana this year unless they live there and go hunt somewhere else.
What are the most popular food sources for early to mid-October for most of the state?
Most of the state is going to be acorns. You need to be finding your white oak trees that are just now starting to drop. I hunted some oak groves over the weekend where there might be 25 or 30 white oaks on it, and there's only two of them dropping. I haven't been back since the weekend, so the others might have caught up or started dropping by now. But right now is going to be focusing on your white oaks and trying to set up in between the travel routes or the bedding areas and the white oaks themselves and catch them passing by. That's going to be your best food source currently.
You were successful on some recent hunts since openers. Tell me about those setups for getting those deer on the ground.
Oh, man. You know how Babe Ruth used to point to left field with his bat?
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel. That's how I felt over the weekend. I quite literally pointed at three places on a map and said, this is where it's going to happen. And I killed three deer and five hunts in 4 days. My camp, the guys in my camp, we killed one deer every day, all on public land, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I got a call by the WMA manager asking where we were hunting, because out of 3,500 efforts on that WMA, we were the only four people to kill deer. And so, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now as far as locating deer, but that was all to do with, I was combining travel routes and transitions, I was crossing a swamp or a body of water. So I was blocking off one side, and then I was hunting the south wind side of an oak ridge or an oak flat. And early season like that, when I said all those trees aren't dropping yet, it's really easy to hone in on the one that is, and just, I mean, they come to it like a bug to a light. And it was the best opener I've ever had. I was feeling very confident right now.
Going forward then, in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Louisiana?
I think it's going to normalize to about a 6 or a probably a 6. I would call it a 6. It's gotten hot. The pressure is going to get real high with this storm. Even if you don't get hit by the storm, I think it's going to shut down a lot of deer activity just from the heat. And the fact that there's a lot of people in the woods this year from COVID. And we talked about this a lot recently, where you've got people that are laid off or working from home. And to a lot of people, working from home is the same thing as working from a deer stand, and they might be overpressuring their areas. So it's something we all need to watch out for this year. But I think it's going to go down to a 6 because of the weather primarily.
All right, Kyler, congrats on your successful opener. Good luck on the rest of your hunts, and thanks for joining me.
Appreciate it, Spencer. Have a good day.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Justin Michaud from New York. Now, Justin, in New York, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd probably give it about a 5. I think the activity that I've seen has been somewhat standard for that end of summer going into fall, still food patterns. But I did have a sit that I did the other night where there was some sparring. You could tell that these bucks are getting just a bit more, you know, edgy and trying to push around a little bit. So I think we're on our way.
We just had New York's opener about a week ago. Typically, how aggressive are you for those opening hunts?
Typically, I'm not that aggressive. I like to take those first few sits and kind of do more observation, but I had a buck that I got on camera once, and a buck that I, the same buck, I had seen him multiple times from about June on, and kind of figured out somewhat of his core area, but, you know, cameras didn't help me out much on that. So I, with my work schedule and the cold front that hit, I thought I was just going to take a bit of a educated guess, and I dove in on him that first night sit, and saw 13 deer that night, and one of the deer was him. I actually had him come by. He has a drop tine on his left side, so he was pretty easy to pick out, and I had him come by, and he was at 5 yards, and it was one of those situations where I kind of hoped it wasn't him when I saw him, because he looked a bit different when I actually got my eyes on him. So I let him get about 25, 30 yards and grunted him back, got eyes on him again, and decided I was going to probably let him go another year. So I think that between that cold front and the lack of pressure that had been in the woods so far, I was able to capitalize at least on, you know, connecting some dots, even though it didn't turn into anything on the ground. The opportunity was there.
Are you seeing any sign making yet in New York?
As of right now, it still seems a bit dry. You know, from the time that I've been out and even a couple weeks before, you know, I'm not seeing what I feel like I typically do. And I'm not sure if that's, you know, temperature related or if things just aren't heating up yet. But yeah, I feel like by now I'm typically seeing more scrapes and rubs pop up. But as of now, it's, you know, still seems maybe a little bit early.
What food sources are you focused on in early to mid-October in that part of the country?
Well, that depends on what's actually going on. I mean, I've actually seen, you know, I've noticed that in a, well, mainly green sources. But as I say that, you know, if they come through and they do a cut on the alfalfa, there seems to be a bit of a switchover to that because of that fresh growth. So they're still at this point, from what I'm seeing, hitting the greens. Again, it's a little bit early, but all of the deer that I've seen, I've got winter wheat that that I've seen pop up, and they're hitting that. It's really, right now, I would say it's all that new fresh growth. So whether it be something that was planted late that's just popping, or yeah, same with the alfalfa. And I have a small plot in and have seen the same thing, a significant amount of deer and does and fawns in that green source that I'm getting on camera now.
If you're doing a morning setup over these next couple of weeks, what do those situations look like?
Well, I typically don't like to do mornings this early, but again, with work, with my work schedule, I've had to get a little bit more creative. So right now, you know, I have a couple spots in mind. I have done one so far, and it was a bit, you know, I noticed transition back from food to bed, which is, you know, pretty typical for this early time of year. But I do have a spot that I've kind of been keeping an eye on that I'm really pumped to get in when I get a little bit of a switch in weather here, where it's a corn field that got put in fairly late, and it's and it has a couple of little fingers of timber that come right out into the cornfield, and that has oaks on it. So, and I know that those oaks typically produce a good amount of acorns. So my next sit, I think, will be in that spot. So I'll either get them coming in from the corn, headed back to bed, if they're not bedding in the corn, for those acorns, or I just think there's going to be great movement in that area because of the amount of food there.
Going forward then, in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in New York?
Well, naturally, I would say it's probably going to at least move up on the scale. So, like I said, it was probably a 5. I think we'll start to squeak up a bit, maybe 6. I don't know if we'll get to a 7. But, you know, I've been away from home for a few days. So, you know, it doesn't take long for that sign to start to pop up. And I would say we're going to start, you know, moving in the right direction here.
All right, Justin, well, good luck with those hunts when you get back in the woods. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Spencer.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Clifford Martin from Stick and Pick in Iowa. Now, Clifford, in Iowa, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say it's probably been, in the last week, it's probably been 8 to 9. It's been very, very good for early season. And obviously, we've had a good front come through, high pressure, cooler temperatures than normal for the first of the season. And it's been about as good as it gets for the first of the season.
Now, you and your family have put down some awesome bucks lately in Iowa. Tell me about the setups for those successful hunts.
Yeah, absolutely. For my two boys, obviously, they get to hunt in youth season in Iowa, so that starts mid-September and runs to the 1st of October, and that can be kind of a tricky time of the year to hunt. But the first deer my oldest son killed was on standing beans that were still pretty green, which just can be pretty good at that time of the year if they're not too yellow. And so we were able to capitalize on a great deer on day one of youth season, obviously, to the green soybeans. And then about a week ago, my youngest son killed his on, we focused in on more of a green turnip plot, brassica plot. The beans were getting pretty yellow. So anything green was basically starting to really turn on for whitetails. So we really started focusing on more something green, greener. And that's where we found the deer. And yeah, we were able to knock down some great deer on youth season. And then for me, 1st of October, I was lucky enough to harvest one of my target bucks, and I focused on a green clover plot. So first of the season there, right around the 1st of October, if everything's dried down, it's definitely focus on anything green. That's where we normally do our best the first of the year, or the first of the season, I'm sorry.
Now, how deep into fall are you focused on the green food sources?
From here forward, all the way to the rut, I really focus on green. Your rut comes in, food is not quite as important. And then obviously after, third week of November, then it's back on green. And then from there, it's, later into December, your grains will be better or do better. Obviously, if you have standing beans or corn, that's what we look into all the way into December.
Are you seeing any sign making yet in Iowa?
Yep, it is definitely picking up. Obviously, with the rising moon pressure, the sign has been just exploding. We do have a warm snap right now, so I think that'll probably slow it up a little bit. But, give it a week or two and it should be rolling. But as far as for this time of the year, it's definitely really exploded.
Do you have any tricks for killing a mature buck over these next couple of weeks when a lot of them go nocturnal?
That's a good question, and I don't know if there's a right answer. For me, it is definitely a tougher time of the year. I think they're just not walking around as much in the daylight. For me, I try to get real close, and obviously I have the luxury of doing a lot of plots here in Iowa. I try to get real close to their bedding. This time of the year, they're usually moving late. So the closer you can get to their bedding this time of the year, or any food source that's real close to their bedding, that's probably, last minute when they wander out of their bedroom, is probably the biggest thing for me, is try to get as close to them as you can that time of the year.
Do you notice a shift in bedding at all in the month of October?
Not really, no. I mean, there's definitely, here in Iowa, the harvest is in full blast right now. So that usually changes a lot of things. You'll have some new bucks show up. Bucks definitely are moving around a little bit as far as adjusting their bedding areas and so on. So, and I think a lot of that here in Iowa anyway, where we don't have just a southern Iowa, we don't have just a ton of timber. Some areas we do, but where I hunt, I don't have as much timber. So I say the harvest pushes a lot of deer that were living in the crops and are now transitioning to, where there's more cover as they get pushed out of the cornfields and so on as they harvest.
Going forward then, in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Iowa?
I would say it's probably going to be a 5. Just, it's not going to be very hot here in the next week or two.
All right, Clifford, congrats on the awesome deer. Thanks for joining me.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
And that concludes this week's episode of Rut Fresh Radio. Thanks to Adam, Kyler, Justin, and Clifford for joining me, and thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure you're following at Wired to Hunt on Facebook and Instagram, and following at Spencer Newharth on Instagram. Also, I hope you're subscribed to the Whitetail Weekly newsletter. It goes out on every single Monday, where you're going to see tons of content from folks like me, Mark, Tony Peterson, Daniel Pruitt, Pat Durkin, and more. I'm stoked that it's October. I hope you guys are getting in the woods this weekend and beating the October lull and proving me and Mark and all of the hunters that we talked to on this episode wrong by filling a tag. I will talk to you guys next week, but until then, stay wired to hunt.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.
Outdoor Adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. You simply pour a can into your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. So pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.